We're joined by Ann Powers. She is NPR's music critic and correspondent, one of the nation's leading music writers. Began her career in San Francisco, has held positions at the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Village Voice, and she has a compelling book about music called Good Booty. Good morning, Ann Powers.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's certainly a captivating title.
Well, Little Richard is the king of rock and roll, after all, and Good Booty is one of the original lyrics from Tutti Frutti, although he had to clean it up for the radio back in the day.
Ann Powers explores how popular music became America's primary erotic art form. I don't know that many would disagree with you, but how did it happen?
Well, you're totally right that I'm pointing out the obvious in some ways, but my book explores the deep roots of this connection between popular music and sexuality going all the way back to the very beginning of our country and the way in which music expressed different kinds of people mixing and mingling in the ballrooms of New Orleans and the streets of the new cities. And I move it all the way through to the present day from New Orleans, 1807 to Beyonce today.
Well, it's been an adjustment through the years, though, as you note, Elvis Presley,
yes,
in his early popular days, Ed Sullivan didn't want to have him photographed from the waist down, did he?
There's always a way in which the official culture is challenged by popular music. And you're totally right. Ed didn't want to show Elvis from the waist down, but frankly, it was far too late by then. If you look at magazines and other media from the 50s, which I did in my research, Elvis was everywhere. I mean, he was on the cover of every magazine. He was just an omnipresent figure. So I think Ed was a little too late.
877-217-5757 for Ann Powers, NPR music critic, and her book is Good Booty, Love and Sex, Black and White, Body and Soul in American Music. And these music programs were probably the first places on television where we saw blacks and whites together.
You know, music has been a place where intermingling and interracial connections have been made, as I said, since really the beginning of our nation. It's important to stress that it's not a utopian solution. You know, it's still existing amidst oppression and racism, but music is a place where people come together, and music itself, our music blends African diaspora, immigrant influences. It's a blend of all those things. And to me, that's why it's the ideal art form. It's really where we are at our best, being together.
And Ann, you say this all began in New Orleans. Imagine
that. I think
so. Imagine that. What was going on in the 19th century in New Orleans?
Well, New Orleans is, to me, the founding city of this country, more so than New York City, more so than Jamestown Colony, Boston, anything. And the reason is, as your listeners know, it's a very, very old city, predating the nation itself. B, it is a place where Spanish, French, African, and other immigrant and Native American people mingled. And that melting pot, to use a cliche, is really the essence of the country. And see, from the very beginning, it was a city that valued leisure, culture, entertainment, pleasure, all things that I think are essential to a great culture. So I'm all about New Orleans, for sure. And Louisiana in general.
I can tell. That's wonderful. Florence Mills, a contemporary of Josephine Baker, you believe she was a big part of this evolution?
I do, and Florence Mills fascinated me because I have been a music critic for many, many decades, really, and I had never heard of Florence Mills. She was a huge star in the 1920s. She never recorded anything. She was never filmed, so she's much forgotten today, but she embodied this way of being a new woman. She was intimate in her vocal delivery when singing. She, you know, had a slender, ethereal form. She was a step into the future for women in the 1920s. She was also a civil rights activist, and it amazed me that this huge star, who, when she died young at 32, the streets of New York were thronged for her funeral. There were tens of thousands, almost 100,000 people in the street. How can we forget that person? But that just shows you how there are amazing sort of secret stories in popular music, people who were so important in their time who we don't remember today. So that is one thing I really wanted to do in my book, was to stress stories like that.
And no book about this topic would be complete without mentioning the Beatles.
Of course. And what I talk about with the Beatles, since this is a book about American music, is how they were deeply influenced by American music, and specifically by the Everly Brothers, the harmonies of the Everly Brothers, and also by Motown and the girl groups. We think of the Beatles as bringing something new to America. In fact, they reflected American music back to us, and they loved those girl groups. They were as influenced by the Ronettes as they were by anything else. And I think that's a really important thing to note. That's true of the Rolling Stones, too, by the way. Mick Jagger was influenced deeply by Ronnie Spector and also by Tina Turner, who, of course, taught him how to dance.
Not a bad teacher.
Not bad at all.
The late 60s.
Probably a better dancer.
The late 60s, when the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were really taking off, there was this American young man, Jim Morrison. How much of an impact did he have on that period?
I think Jim Morrison's a fascinating character because he embodied the countercultural sex god, and he presented himself that way. You know, he called himself the Lizard King, and he was very sexy on stage. But in a strange way, he was also sort of making fun of himself, and I think that's what people have missed in thinking about Jim Morrison. He loved Mad Magazine. He was into comedy. He was into surrealism, and all of those things factor into his performance. In the end, he was kind of bested by not only his troubles with alcohol and drugs, but his own demons about, you know, being that macho guy. He didn't want to be that macho guy, but during his life, he presented this kind of amazing sex symbolism that was also making fun of being a sex symbol.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Jim Morrison died in 1971, Madonna was 12 years old, but about a decade later, she took off. What do you credit to her success?
Well, Madonna is simply the most significant pop star of the 80s next to Michael Jackson. And she came to the world stage at a perfect time because she was just as much a visual artist, an artist of the visual, as she is an artist of music. And she became famous, of course, alongside the rise of MTV. So Madonna presented a kind of total package, a fantasy image that was accessible to young women and that expressed confidence and an insistence on being openly sexual, being open about one's erotic power. And I think she today kind of gets a bad rap because she's an older woman and people can't really handle someone aging in pop music if they're a woman. But I just want to remind people how important Madonna was in the 80s and through into the 90s, really.
And now we have Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of her?
Well, back to Louisiana, right? Because Beyonce's Lemonade, the visual album, she produced much of it in Louisiana,
right.
And it refers to Louisiana. So I think it's so fascinating that my story opens in New Orleans and returns there. To me, it's just proof in the pudding that that Louisiana is the central force in shaping American music, and I'm glad Beyonce recognized that.
Well, and to kind of put your book in synopsis, you believe that popular music shapes fundamental American ideas.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I think we share those ideas through music. We share things we can't talk about otherwise, you know, things that we feel uncomfortable talking about. Not only talk about sex, but talk about interracial relationships and racism and oppression and all of those things. Music allows us to have those conversations. It also allows us to experience joy, and joy to me is the most important thing.
Well, the book from Ann Powers is Good Booty, Love and Sex, Black and White, Body and Soul in American Music. Jody Rosen, says it's a landmark work by one of the great cultural critics of our time. And we thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. And keep up the good work, Ann Powers.
Thanks. I hope to see Louisiana soon.
And I appreciate your kind words about our state. Certainly, we take a whipping sometimes on the national scene. You love Louisiana, though. That's wonderful.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. See you soon.